This is Clayton for Podcast Radio Business, and we're joined by Dr. Hilary Leavers, CEO at Engineering UK, to discuss engineering success in the UK economy during National Careers Week. Thank you for joining us, Hilary.
Hi, well, thank you for the invitation, Clayton.
You're most welcome. Hilary, please tell us more about your role at Engineering UK.
So Engineering UK is all about meeting the nation's workforce needs in engineering and technology. And that means that we need to increase the numbers and diversity of young people choosing those careers. So we work with others to do the background research, but also to work with young people and a whole range of other things to try and increase that flow into the workforce.
So with National Careers Week, it's kicking off and it's underway. Can you share some insights into why engineering is being highlighted as a promising career path for young people?
I would say it's always been a promising career path, but we are becoming more acutely aware of the workforce needs that we have in this area. We need tens of thousands more young people choosing careers in this space, as well as looking at, you know, upskilling and reskilling. And the data that we've been looking at recently comes from the graduate survey of people 15 months after graduation. And we've found, you know, really high employability of engineering and technology graduates, that they're more likely to be working in those sectors that they got the qualifications in. They're much more likely to say that they feel their career plans are on track. And we can also see the wage premium is starting to be evident. So they're more highly paid on average than the other graduates. So, you know, that speaks to those workforce needs.
This latest report from Engineering UK reveals that 7 in 10 engineering and technology graduates, we can't leave them out, are in paid work within the engineering sector. What factors contribute to the positive job perspectives for engineering graduates? Because sometimes people do a fantastic degree, they're all skilled up, but nowhere to go.
No, absolutely. So they've made brilliant choices. And the reason why they're in such a highly employable sector is because those unmet workforce needs. So this research sits very nicely alongside some research we did last year, we commissioned from Lightcast, which was looking at the numbers of people in the sector already, which is just over 6 million, but also the adverts for just job vacancies across all roles. And engineering and jobs take up about 19% of the UK workforce, but they account for 25% of job adverts. And I think that that really brings home actually that need to bring more people in. And you can see it again in the wage premium. So that analysis looking at the adverts found a 30% wage premium for those roles, whereas the analysis we've just done shows that actually you're starting to see that even at 15 months. The engineering and tech graduates are typically in the 25 to 30K band, whereas the other graduates are more in the 20 to 25K band. And engineering graduates are more highly represented in all the bands higher than 25K, in fact.
So we refer back to this report again, where Becca Gooch, she's authored the report on behalf of Engineering UK. She's emphasized the importance of choosing the right degree.
It's a brilliant point. It's so important that young people are equipped with the right information to help them choose the right career. And in engineering and technology, engineering in particular has got very low curriculum presence in schools. So people tend to just have quite a misconception and a very narrow perception of what engineering is. And they may speak to elders around them who have actually an outdated stereotype of what that is and the sorts of people who can become an engineer. And there's some other research out this week, actually, from the Careers and Enterprise Company, which is showing how important active careers education is. And the young people who have a really rich careers education are much more likely to have career aspirations that align with the labour market needs. So they've made a realistic assessment of where the jobs are. And they're also, and I thought this was a brilliant bit of insight, they are much more likely to choose a career that is against the stereotype of their gender. So actually, by giving that richness of insight and disrupting stereotypes, you can really make a difference.
What I found fascinating is that engineering now ranks second only to doctor in the list of desirable jobs for teenagers. Can you give an idea of what drives this increasing popularity of engineering among young people?
Some BBC research they've released this week as well. I would hope that the careers engagement is increasing across the country. People are putting more into that effort. And that would make a difference because of the evidence I was just mentioning. But also, I hope that young people are looking out and thinking, you know, we've got some big challenges coming our way. The most obvious one is mitigating and adapting to climate change, but also just some core infrastructure challenges. The amount of rain we've had in the last month, you can see the need to manage water, actually the water drainage, the water cleaning, what goes into the rivers, all of those things, and just core infrastructure, transport, communications. And I think it's very easy to look out there and see the challenges we have and then recognizing engineering technology careers as a really purposeful and kind of socially responsible area to work in, as well as one that is, it's really creative and it's about solving those problems.
But do you think, in a sense, that Britain was always a leader in these things, but because we got seduced into maybe financial things, we put engineering and the skills from it maybe on the back burner, or in the promotion of those skills?
Certainly put the promotion of them, and actually have failed to recognize the need to promote. I don't think there was ever an age where government was actively promoting those careers. Maybe there was. I need to go back to my history books. But I think it probably was very visible. Our industrial past was very visible and front of mind. And as other careers have established themselves, and they've got, you know, more instant appeal in terms of what you're seeing in the media and on TV, perhaps. So we see a lot of people want to be footballers, for example. And actually, that's where you need that bit of realism about actually how employable is that likely to be, how secure a profession, all of those things. So it's about a change in the factors that you're making your decision-making on, and then really good information to support that.
We spoke a bit earlier about elders providing maybe somewhat well-intentioned but somewhat misguided advice. What are some common misconceptions or barriers that prevent young people from considering engineering as a viable career option, and how can we address those misconceptions?
So I actually don't like to repeat them. So actually, even just every time you say something which is a misconception, I feel people hear that bit. So what I would say is engineering is a very flexible career. It's very creative. You've got a lot of teamwork, and it is open to all. And actually, the businesses that we work with, and we know this is true from talking to recruiters as well, are so sincere in their desire to make sure that their workforce is more representative of the UK population. And the efforts they're putting in to really thinking through their entry requirements, the support they might do earlier on with young people in schools, and also how inclusive the workplace is once that diversity of people have joined, it's really sincere, and it's making a difference both to who is coming into the profession and how long they're staying, the roles that they progress into.
And feeding into who's coming into the profession, diversity and representation, crucial for the future of engineering. In what ways is Engineering UK really working to promote diversity within these fields and make engineering careers more accessible to a wider range of individuals?
We'll start with the policy, with the need for government to understand what those workforce needs are, and that information is reaching young people through a really comprehensive and consistent career system, as well as actually through the curriculum. And there is for this very poor presence, as I said, of engineering in the curriculum. So there's a bit about the policy work. Then we work with young people directly. We work with over 100,000 young people each year trying to give them brilliant opportunities to get hands-on and problem-solving in engineering and technology, and really importantly, meet role models and relatable role models. And that is a very impactful experience for them. And then we also work with over 300 businesses who they themselves are doing work with schools to help them understand what the latest evidence is of how to be more impactful. And, you know, for example, how to talk about the opportunities in environmental sustainability and in decarbonisation without adding to the anxiety that they may be feeling about the current state of the world.
With that in mind, people listening to this will say, you know, Dr. Hilary Leavers sounds like a nice lady. You know, she's got some great information to share with us. How can business owners who listen to Podcast Radio Business interface with Engineering UK in order to get access in the first instance and encourage and facilitate people within these areas?
Well, thank you for that question. So they can find us and all of our research, including this report later in the week, on engineeringuk.com. And you can reach, it's really easy to reach out to us, actually, if you'd like to have a conversation about the work that you're doing. And we run the Tomorrow's Engineers Code, which is a free mechanism for organisations to collaborate on their activities with schools and share best practice and, you know, see who's doing what in their area and things like that. So there's a really easy mechanism for them to get involved. And then if they want to, if they've got something they want to get into schools, then we could list that for them on our neonfutures.org.uk website that also has loads of careers materials that anyone can use, and then that rich bank of role models. And I just want to add one thing on the role models, because we've been talking about graduates in this conversation, because that's what our latest research is on. Actually, I really don't want anyone to think that that's the most important route in. So we also have apprenticeships and T-levels and other vocational and technical qualifications, which are an incredibly important route into engineering and technology, and also lead to very high employability and actually really good career progression.
That's excellent. So looking ahead, what are your hopes and aspirations for the future of engineering and technology, particularly in terms of encouraging more young people to pursue careers in these fields?
That is a lovely question. So now I'm in a wonderful dream world. So I would love all young people just to have an accurate perception of what those roles might look like and to see the value that they could bring, see how they might connect with them. And so they're making a well-informed choice about whether or not this is a job that they want to move into. And I think that, I mean, all the evidence suggests that if we got that information out there, then many more would progress through. Now, you obviously need all of the educational opportunities. You need the teacher workforce and the FE pathways and everything to give them the actual, the qualifications and the routes. But actually, it starts with that information and inspiration. And then ultimately, for the UK to have the workforce that it needs for engineering and technology to thrive.
Indeed. So Dr. Hilary Leavers, CEO at Engineering UK, thank you for joining us on Podcast Radio Business.
Yeah, my pleasure.
You're most welcome.